بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وحبيبه أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers and sisters, so we're getting to the finish line, and there's still time for us to put on the extra burners and cross the finish line with a great speed and with great energy. I must remind you all that the services that we provide for the month of Ramadan is based upon the contributions of the community. And I want to encourage you, every little that you contribute in the boxes outside will go to a great extent in covering the shortfalls that we have been experiencing here. I'd also like to congratulate us all as Shia, and in particular the Iranian community, with respect to the deal that was made with respect to the nuclear energy negotiations that were taking place. And it's great. I think Israel is really upset, you know, and anything that makes them upset makes us happy. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Today we want to continue the topic, and just as a review, we're talking about hadith by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who says the believer has seven rights incumbent upon his fellow believer, which Allah has made obligatory upon them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have you answer for them on the day of judgment. The first one is al-ijlalu lahu fi aynihi, esteeming your fellow believer highly in your eyes. The second is al-wuddu lahu fi sadrihi, to have love for him in his heart. The third is al-muwasatu lahu fi malihi, to assist him financially from his own wealth. The fourth is an yuhibba lahu ma yuhibbu li nafsihi, to love for him what he loves for himself. The fifth is an yuharrima ghaibata, to prohibit others from backbiting him. The sixth is an ya'udahu fi maradihi, to visit him in his sickness. And the seventh, which we are on today, is yushayya janazatuhu, to attend his funeral, wa la yaqula fihi ba'da mawtihi illa khayra, and not say anything but good about him after his death. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, talking about attending the funeral of the believer, says that the first gift a believer is able to bestow on others after his death is that those who follow his funeral procession are forgiven. That's the first gift. In terms of the believer, he dies, you follow his funeral procession, you are forgiven your sins by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think this is a very interesting point, because if you remember that when we come into this world, we have a commemoration we call an aqiqah. And with the aqiqah, you slaughter an animal and you invite people to a meal from the meat of this animal. And the family is not allowed to partake of this meat. And not only this, but you shave the hair of the baby and you weigh it and you give the weight also in gold as a sadaqah for that child. In other words, what it is implying is that that person coming into this world is of benefit to the society, is somebody who will bring blessings to that society, is somebody who will be a positive contributor to that society, is somebody who is going to bring grace upon that society. This is what it is implying. As a baby, you are actually sort of like giving that baby as a sacrifice in a symbolic way to that society to sustain it. And at the end of your life, when you are on the way, when you are carried on the way to your grave, you are also giving benefit to the society. By those people who are following you on your grave, towards your grave, these people receive the blessings of mercy and forgiveness from Allah because of that person. What happens between your birth and your death, it's up to you. It's up to your parents. It's up to the system that your society itself has created in order to maximize and to actualize the goodness that comes from you to that society. Because there are some societies that are not oriented towards actualizing at least some sections of their community. There are some parents, for example, who are not as concerned or alienated from being able to make their children as beneficial as possible to that society. And this is one of the problems that many of our immigrant parents face. Because, for example, not knowing the system, not knowing the language, they are unable to follow up on their children going to school. Not only that, but the lower classes of our society feel so alienated from power that they are unable to intervene in the school and to be able to help their children achieve in the society. And I think this is another aspect of our responsibility as a community. If we want to be an honorable community, we should be able to help to empower those parents who are intimidated by the society. Those parents who have children in school who are unable to speak in proper English to the teachers, or who might be just simply intimidated or afraid to attend parent-teachers meetings and so forth and so on. You are actually shortchanging your kids. And when a kid is shortchanged, when a kid is in school and he can't perform, or he finds himself, falling behind, eventually being behind becomes a virtue. Being behind becomes something to be proud of. There are schools, I am sure they have them here in the United States, I'm sure you have them here, where, for example, studious kids are perceived as nerds and perceived as odd, whereas the naughty kids or the kids who are not performing properly are looked upon as heroes because they are tough guys and so on, foolish people. And this becomes a culture in the school. So studious kids have to hide and pretend that they're not studious. This happens, especially in low-income areas. Why is it, for example, that you have a whole lot of East Indian kids in East London, for example, in that type of a situation? Because of the fact that parents themselves are not empowered. Because of the fact that that class level, that part of town that they are in, does not get the same kind of quality teaching that you get, uptown. So what Islam is showing us is that we are, in our very essence, a potential benefit for our community. And it is very important for the community to recognize that in order to take that ahead. Give salawat to Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Also, our presence, our following that person to his grave, is something that brings benefit to that soul itself. So our community also helps us to be saved. Our community, also a healthy one, also helps us to progress. So it's not that you only, it's not a one-way street, it's not that you only are helping your community, but your community is supposed to be helping you. And we find in our community, we don't find that type of thing happening too much. We don't find, for example, the businessmen trying to teach those who are especially from a depressed part of town or a depressed group, don't teach them the tools of business, for example. We don't find that. We don't find, for example, those who are educated, those who have math and so forth, teaching the slower kids. This is what we have to do. And so you find that in following the dead person to the cemetery brings benefit to that person. And it also ties into the next part of that particular hadith, where it says that after that person dies, you don't say anything bad about them, only good. And I want to mention to you a story from the time of Hazrat Dawood, alayhi salam, about this. Where there was a worshiper, a Bani Israel, who showed himself to be a really good guy. I guess he always showed up at prayers and he always gave salams and smiled with people and so forth and so on. But behind the scenes, he was only, as they would say back home, fronting. He was only pretending. He wasn't like that. You know, he was not a great person. And Allah revealed this to Hazrat Dawood. So when the man died, Hazrat Dawood refused to attend his funeral and pray over him. But when the people were washing this man's body, the 40 people who were there prayed to God. They said, "Oh Allah, oh God, we haven't seen anything but goodness from this man, and you know best." And when they brought him to the grave, they said, "Oh God, we haven't seen anything but goodness from this man, but you know best." And so this continued until Allah revealed to Hazrat Dawood, why did you not go and pray over this man's funeral? Why did you not attend this man's funeral? And Hazrat Dawood said, "Well, you showed me that he was basically a hypocrite." Allah said, "Yes, but some people have spoken well about him. Some people have said good about him. And because of this, I forgave this man for what they did not know." And this indicates the power on God's forgiveness upon those who pass away. That when you are attending that person's funeral, you are actually showing in your behavior that you know only good from this person, otherwise you would not attend it. And when you speak about them, even though they might have done you wrong, even though you might have known something negative about them, you only say good for them, and that helps them get forgiven. So your community looks after you. An honorable and a healthy community looks after you, not only in this world, not only by paying the homes upon which the community spends upon you, or the zakah, or the charity in a smile, the charity in helping somebody achieve, the charity in helping somebody become empowered, but that community also helps you in becoming forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, helps you get to paradise. And this is one of the beauties of praying in jama'ah. Because in praying in jama'ah, your very presence in jama'ah, regardless of whether your head is there or not, leads to your prayers being answered and lead to you being forgiven. That's the power of praying in jama'ah. When you look at the opportunities we get to get close to Allah, and remember, when we say we want to get a qurb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't mean something abstract. What do you think it means when it goes through our heads? Many of us just say it from a ritualistic point of view. We just say it because we are supposed to say it before we make our salah. We just say it because it's supposed to be part of our niyyah. But basically what we want to do is to be an intimate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to be Allah's friend. We want Allah to talk to us. We want Allah to make us happy. We want Allah to give us strength in dealing with this dunya that we are living in. We want to be able to, quote unquote, see Allah. Somebody asked Imam Ali alayhi salam, how could you worship a God you cannot see? He said, I would never worship a God I cannot see. I can see God with my heart. And believe me, seeing God with your heart is not an abstraction. It's not an abstraction. Because somebody could hypnotize you, as I mentioned before, and say, you don't see Sheikh Ahmad Hanif. You can't see him. And if I lift this paper, you see this paper flying in the air. You won't see me. That's because your heart is convinced that I don't exist. Okay? You could be a psychopath. And if you're a psychopath, if I'm a psychopath standing here, all you guys looking at me, I see them as people plotting to beat me up after I leave here, even though you're looking at me paying attention. Okay? It's your heart. And this is what Qurb means, to be able to be so close to Allah that you can see him. And once you can see Allah, you have no fear of losing faith in him. So, even in death, the believer is a contributor to the health, the spiritual and the physical health of the community. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. It's a hadith by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ali, where he says, Inna arhamu ma yakunu Allahu bil abdi idha wudi'a fi hufratihi. Allah is the most merciful possible. Allah is the most merciful possible towards his servant when he is put in the hole in his grave. And so again, like we said, when somebody is sick, there's an overabundance, an overflowing of Allah's mercy. And this is what we participate in, which is what helps bring love and togetherness in our community. Similarly, when we attend the janazah of our brother or sister, it brings again that opportunity for us to immerse ourselves in the benefits of Allah's mercy. Thus, when we send salawat upon the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, for example, we are elevating them. And in elevating them, the most beloved of Allah, we elevate ourselves. And when we send la'nat on their enemies, we are actually doing something against them. We are fighting with those enemies on a spiritual level. And we are giving them the blows that we would have given them if we were alongside our imams when they were being oppressed by these oppressors. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said, travel 2 years distance to do good to your parents. Means if you have to travel by foot for 2 years to do good to your parents, do that. That's how important your parents are to you. That's how much they are important in saving you. It has nothing to do with whether your parents are Muslim or non-Muslim. Kuffar or mu'mineen. Good people or bad people. Just the mere act of doing good to your parents is a highly recommended act that is important for your longevity, for the grace that Allah drops upon you. He says, travel 1 year to reconcile with your family. Travel 1 year to reconcile with your family by foot, because reconciliation is an act of the awliya. Reconciliation is something that brings us close to Allah. He says, travel 1 mile to visit a sick person and travel 2 miles to attend a funeral procession. So let us not squander these opportunities, because they are very, very important. in the solidarity of our community. Israel Bakshe Farsi, Sobat Mikardim, Darbariye Tashir Janaza, Vashir Katkada, Dar Tashir Janaza, Ke Dar Inhingam شریک کردن در تشییع جنازه خیلی رحمت داره و مثل این که وقتی که ما نگاه میکنیم به اولین روز که به دنیا اومدیم ما یک مراسم داریم اسمش عقیقه و در عقیقه چه اتفاق میفته؟ در عقیقه ما یک گوسفند ذبح میکنیم و این گوشت گوسفند به مردم میدهیم یا دعوتشون میکنیم به خونه ما که مثلا چیزه ما میپزیمش یا این خود گوشت به آنها میدیم و مولانها را چیزه تیک میزنیم و خود وزن این مو به طلا به مردم بدهیم. این نشان میدهد که خود وجود ما از ابتدای آمدن ما در این دنیا مفید هست برای جمعیت، نه تنها در مسائل مالی و دنیاوی بلکه حتی در مسائل معنوی. و آخر لحظات ما که روی این زمین هستیم، خود حضور ما وقتی که ما رو میبرند به طرف قبرستون، خود حضور ما طبق روایت امام صادق علیه السلام مورد برکت، مورد رحمت خدا هستش. پس بین این هر دو انتها چه نشان میدهد؟ که ما باید هم شخصی و هم از لحاظ جمعیت باید سعی کنیم در خدمت جمعیت باشیم، به خاطر اینکه حضور ما حضور معنوی ماست، حضور برکت ما برای جمعیت ماست. و این نشان می‌دهد که جمعیت، خود جمعیت مورد رحمت خدا برای ما هم هست، به خاطر اینکه نه تنها حضور ما در چیز تشییع جنازه ما برکت میگیریم، بلکه خودمون، شرکت خودمون به آنها برکت، به خود میت برکت میدهد. پس یک ارتباط دو طرفی هستش. انشاءالله tomorrow, this brings us to the close of these seven hadith. Tomorrow, what we would like to talk about is three things that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi talked about that says, I'm afraid for my ummah. I'm afraid for my ummah because of these three things. And I think you'll find these three things very, very insightful, inshallah. So may Allah give us the long life, and may Allah give us the love and the unity between us, that we hasten to visit each other, not only when things are going well for us, but also when things are going badly for us. Not only while we are walking healthy on the earth, but also while we are sick. Not only while we are alive, but also when we have passed away. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.